Welcome everyone to the Blessings of Christ on the 21st day of October, 2018. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm blessed by you as much as I am blessed by him. Because together, we create a larger body of Christ, joining as one in a larger and more benevolent support system for the deliverance of grace upon this earth. And that's why I love to have you speak up in the beginning, make your contributions, ask your questions, express your gratitude, whatever's on your mind. Jerome, I see you're on. Hi, Jerome. And good to have you.
Light, compassion, love, peace, and joy forever and always from the universe. And two healing names. One is Andrew and one is Amber. And but thank you for your light, compassion, love of everything. And blessings with everything you're doing. But I love you and I love everything of the Christ spirit that you are.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerome. And I love you and your family and everything that you are and all that you've done to make this a better world.
Yeah,
so,
you have too. Aren't this a great expansiveness?
It's great to acknowledge the gifts and contributions
okay.
of everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Tony, you're welcome. And Tony, I'm going to open your line. Tony is our, virtually our co-moderator because he's my navigator. When I have troubles online, Tony will be here. So,
yeah,
hi, Tony. How are you today? And Judy.
I'm good.
How is Judy?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Great.
Pretty much better. Yeah.
Okay.
Judy was having a real hard time with a really bad sinus infection, and now she's recovered. And so, she can smell and taste again. So, we did the blessing for her, like, last week. And
great.
She had an immediate turnaround. So we're doing really well. We were out yesterday at the beach. And we're watching the sky after sunset, and there's this gorgeous alignment that's visible this week. Jupiter is getting close to the western horizon, but you can still see it. And stretched out across the sky, leading up to the full moon, you'll be able to see Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and then the moon. All stretched out across the sky together. It's gorgeous. It's real. It's a beautiful alignment that's visible right after dark. And then when the moon is full on Wednesday, it's going to actually conjoin Uranus. So we'll have the retrograde Venus conjunct the sun, and we'll have the full moon conjunct Uranus, which is this Wednesday. And the exact time of the full moon is around 10 a.m. Pacific. So it's about 1 p.m. Eastern time. And the other thing about this is this goes back, I think this will trigger something for you. The last time Venus passed us, when Venus passes us, it's considered the beginning of a new Venus cycle. So when Venus is retrograde and it sweeps between us and exactly aligns with us and the sun, it's the beginning of a new cycle. The last date that happened, I believe, was March 25th of 2017. So think about all the things that happened. And was that when you broke your arm right around then?
Just about a month later.
All right.
A month later, and then the hurricane.
Yeah.
The eclipse, yes.
Yeah. So we are now entering into a new Venus cycle. And, you know, I don't even really pay attention to that often, although I love watching Venus in the sky. But now we're being reminded that this everything for the last year and a half is being summed up. in this. And what's interesting is that this exact alignment with Venus, the Sun, and the Earth won't happen until after this full moon. So we're right at the very end of this Venus cycle leading up to this full moon.
Okay, well, it's certainly been causing me a lot of retreading, shall we say.
Yeah. It was really striking yesterday. The moon was with Neptune in the evening, and so as the sun set, I saw that alignment, which everyone can check out over these next few days. And
okay.
It was really beautiful because there was this connection with spirit in the air and in the water and in the life that was
sure.
You know, the starlight. So it was really
mm-hmm.
striking, and so that
I'm
made
sure
me. It really made me reflect on the connection with the moon and Neptune with that experience yesterday. So I think it will also be very pronounced. I think we'll have some nice surprises. So what's, there's always the potential for challenges, but I think that this kind of connection is one that really kind of brings us strongly connected to what love and spirit are trying to do and unfold for us in our immediate experience, I think, with this Uranus-Venus opposition mm-hmm. with the full moon.
Well, that would be wonderful. That would be truly wonderful. And we can hold that in our blessing today.
Yeah.
So thanks, Tony.
Thanks.
And thanks for your contribution, your wisdom, your heart, and all that you help us with. And may this be a blessing to you.
Thank you.
We have a caller from area code 719, and you're on.
Hi, everybody. This is Tara Kim calling from Colorado.
Oh, Tara Kim, hi.
Hi, and that retreading thing really resonated when you said that. I've been doing some of that myself. I'd like to request some support today for healing. Having all these thyroid and adrenal and heart palpitation stuff going on, and it's kind of like it was earlier in the year. It's really strange, and I'm just reviewing what am I, it's like I'm repeating, and I obviously didn't learn a lot the first time because I'm doing it kind of the same way. So it's been quite interesting this last month or so. So much appreciated any blessing support I might obtain today.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can certainly relate to that, not in the particular physical symptoms, but the retreading. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that's really a little bit what all of these retrogrades are all about. They're like getting a do-over. We get a do-over on things, whether it's a do-over on something we thought was good. Maybe it didn't turn out so great, so we get to look at it again and make new choices. Or something was challenging, and we didn't completely handle it, so we get to go back and look at it again. We get lots of do-overs. That's where it becomes annoying, most annoying on especially Mercury retrograde, is when we go to the post office and forget to mail the letters. So you have to drive back and mail them.
Yeah.
But that's a little simple, insignificant, everyday example of a do-over. We thought we sent our tax report in until we get this letter reminding us, hey, where is it? And we go, oh no. Oh gosh. I didn't do that. You know, we have a little illness. We think we've got it all cleared up. We get back to living, doing life the same way we were doing it before. The illness comes back. And we get a chance to realize, well, yes, the illness can be cleared up. But then, as Yeshua said several times after he would perform the miracle, he would say, now don't go back and do what you were doing before.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so that's what the do-over is. And so the do-overs with Mercury, for me, are just common annoyances. But the ones I have had with Venus recently are not so good. I mean,
yeah. And Venus, it strikes me too, like, because to me it's like almost Venus is about the heart and about love, and it's just kind of like there's an interesting tie in there as I'm listening to you.
Yeah. It's harder where the heart is concerned to have to think about a do-over.
Yeah.
I don't mind do-overs that just involve going back to the post office.
I had a couple of those today, actually.
Or shutting, or having to shut my computer down and bring it back up again. So what? Big deal.
Yeah.
You know, we do that 3 times a day anyway. But do-overs in the heart. Now, that's hard. I don't like this. And I think a lot of people are having those challenges right now. And not necessarily in personal family relationships, but perhaps with career relationships or perhaps with the environment or, you know, their favorite food or whatever. I am, you know, I'm having some terrible, terrible challenges with the health of one of my cats. And it's just pulling the heartstrings, my heartstrings like nothing else. It's like almost losing a kid. And, it's hard. It's hard. So these, you know, these do-overs of the heart to me are the most challenging.
Yeah. When does this end, by the way? Correct again?
I think it's the 15th of November.
Okay. So we got a couple more weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, one thing I recommend that helps me a lot, and I'll give this to all of you, and that is that we already have an energetic cocoon of light around us. But I would recommend every day when you get up, whether it's get up to have breakfast or pray or have a shower or whatever your first thing is to do in the morning, breathe into your energetic aura and strengthen it so that you only take in those things from the environment that are really important to you. Because especially during the do-over times, other people can push into you and want you to do it over for them.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, thank you.
So strengthen the energetic auric field around yourself so that what you're creating, thinking, contemplating, feeling, or re-energizing or rearranging, whatever comes to you for your life is really about your life, and it's not being pushed in on you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay. I think that really, really does. It helps me a lot, and I find that it lowers resistance. One of the things that we're going to talk about today in our class, Living Inside the Miracle, is the incredible power of resistance to either accelerate distress or, by relieving resistance, activate miracles. And this is something that is essential for all of us to master in whatever way works for us. If you think about it, lowering resistance is part of so many spiritual or quasi-spiritual practices, including yoga, tai chi, kung fu, well, meditation, of course, prayer circles, of course, but also just study and education and being in a therapeutic situation in life. What we're doing is we're lowering resistance. Resistance is to life in general, what inflammation is to the body. And medical science has almost 100% agreed that inflammation is the mother of all disease. It's the mother of arthritis. It's the mother of cancer. It's the mother of asthma. It's the mother of, well, it's just the mother of disease on the physical level. And inflammation is the physical biological twin of resistance, which is something we experience mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. Now, our world is in a state of accelerated resistance. Not always conflict, but we are resisting a lot. If someone gets elected that we don't like, we resist them instead of praying for them to be better people. You know, it used to be if somebody we didn't like was in power, we would pray that God would help them to be a better person. Now, we just throw hate messages out on social media. What does that do? It builds resistance. Okay.
Thank you, Glenda.
You're welcome. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak my heart on a very, very important subject. And I see that Joni is on. Hi, Joni. I'm going to open your line.
Hi, Glenda. Well, speaking of redos, I got one.
Yep.
I would love to get a blessing for the road that I live on. There are five houses up here and one being built. It's sort of a dirt gravel road, and it does kind of go up a hilly area. For over 80 years, the town has maintained the road, just, you know, filling in the potholes, grading it, blading it, so on, and so they can snowplow it in the winter. And they just decided they're not going to do that anymore.
Oh, dear.
And the road has deteriorated extremely because of rain, because of construction trucks going up for this new house and so on and so forth. And it's at the point where it's really pretty much impassable. Certain vendors have said they can't come up here anymore because they can't get the trucks up here. And the town to date has said that's your problem.
Wow.
And we're not going to be able to get emergency services. The man who lives at the top of the road is 99 years old, and we, you know, that's obviously a concern. If houses go on fire, they're just going to burn to the ground. And we're not going to get any heat because nobody can get up here. And
oh, my gosh.
It's a very complicated issue because, unfortunately, it's a lot of other tangled things that don't involve us but do involve the town seem to be involved. And so we are doing a last-ditch effort. We've tried everything. Tomorrow night to talk and present our case before the Board of Selectmen. There's three of them. And we could really use a blessing. We're hoping that we can, that they'll remember that they're compassionate individuals, that they were created as love, and that they are not, you know, bureaucrats who need to hide behind fears of lawsuits or whatever the heck they're doing. And that we can work out a solution quickly that would be the highest and best good for everybody. It's getting cold up here. You know, this is New England. And, you know, temperatures right now, you know, we're getting the 30s, even 20s in the evening. And pretty soon we're not even going to be able to get the road repaired because the ground's going to be frozen. And the various assets that you need to repair the road are just not going to be available. I mean, gravel companies shut down, you know.
Sure.
So.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, we're not, you know, rich people who can, you know, say what the heck, we'll, you know, go off to Arizona or Florida for the winter. You know, we're just trying our darndest to, you know, just get to the grocery store and have heat in our houses. Huh? You know, so it's a pretty astonishing.
That's a really big problem.
And that's a big do. Redo here.
It's a big redo.
We really need help.
Yeah, you do. And, yeah, we will take this into our blessing for the greatest spirit of compassion that can be generated for everyone concerned.
Thank you. Yes.
Everyone. And that you will find resources and help, if not from the city, from somehow, some way, somewhere, that the grace of God will provide. So that's a big one to put on our blessing list. Thank you. Thank you very much for letting us be part of that.
Thank you all for your prayers and your blessings and the input, because it's a biggie. Thank you.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. And Ken, I'm going to open your line. We're still taking calls.
Hey, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good. We all need to be on that road, you know? That's a good road to be on. The one of
okay
and hopefully getting better. It is. I've got a request that I need to make for a friend of mine, Maria. And Maria is a delightful person, but she's got some very serious anger issues. She's got some very serious substance abuse issues. And she, I think, is at a point where she just does not know what to do. And I have done what I can in many domains and many arenas. And it's bigger than what I can deal with.
Oh. Okay, we need intervention here. We really do. We need loving intervention. And I've got her name on the list.
And if you could also throw in for her son Jonathan is a delightful human being, but he also has gone through a tremendous amount of terror in his life. And I think that he needs probably that same possible level of care and support to show him that there truly is a benevolent world beyond what he sees in the three dimensions.
Oh, yes, that's so important. How old is Jonathan?
He's 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he live with his mom?
Yes, he does. He does. He's in a situation where right now he's not able to get out in the world and provide for himself. And so it creates a certain level of unnecessary anxiety for them both. But unfortunately it's kind of, there's not really any other solution for either of them at this point in time. And so he's got, I think, probably maybe another 6 months to a year where he has to do that. But it's, you know, there's kind of what I see is that, you know, we can have a trust and faith in God, and yet then sometimes that faith has to go beyond just the believing that it's real in your own mind to something literally coming down to the ground and saying, okay, here's the well from which you can drink. And when you drink from this well, it will be something that moves you from the inside and catalyzes that awareness that you've been waiting to see, and possibly being awareness that you've been waiting to see, but been very reluctant to admit that it actually is possible.
Well, yes, Ken, that the thing is, the worse our predicament becomes, the harder it is to believe in ourselves. And I'm not referring to believing in the ego self, because circumstances like this can certainly crush the ego completely. But we tend to think when the ego is crushed, that the real self is crushed. The secret to turning this to our advantage, to turning lemons into lemonade, is to let the ego be crushed and then find within that this immortal, imperishable self that has answers, even in ruts of mud.
Hmm.
When that can happen to us and for us, our life is transformed.
Yeah. And sometimes
and
that
so,
ego. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we all go through life putting more faith in our ego than we do in ourselves. We all do that. And then when the various things come along that crush our ego, we think, well, I'm done. I mean, I've got no resources. I've got no friends. I've got, you know, my whole reason for living is over. Okay, I might as well just sit here and do nothing and until the end comes. But that's not seizing the moment, the opportunity. The opportunity lies in seeing that, okay, in the outer world, this is horrible. But there's got to be something else, or I couldn't still be here. I couldn't.
It's true. You know, one of the things that I do for myself is that when I go into that heart place, I picture the very center of that heart place as me. And then I picture a certain distance away from that center point, as in like a sphere around the me part, is all the other stuff. And that's the ego and the world and everything else. And yet, when I do that and I visualize it as a physical space, so there's a single point that's me, and then some distance outside of that is all of this other stuff. Then all of a sudden, I have the ability to move that other stuff as far away as I want and to make me that much bigger.
That's the point. And referring back to what I said earlier to Tara Kim, is that between you, the center, and this other stuff you're seeing as a ring on the outside, somewhere in between is the edge of the auric field, which you can actually strengthen as a cocoon.
Yeah.
And breathe into it. And it's like a muscle, or almost, you might compare it to the placenta of a womb that will protect the embryo from anything toxic and will not allow anything bad in. It actually has the strength of that kind of pure membrane, and it can push back for you. So it's something that a lot of people practice in meditation and even in prayer. They see themselves, they first locate their place at the altar of God, the place where only the perfect self can go. And then they let go of all of these crumbled goals and objectives and wishes and dreams and oppositions and failures that are just scattered all around the perimeter, like the storm that came in last year and blew the fence down around my home. You just see the fence blown down and you say, well, okay, so it's blown down, but that's just a fence. I'm okay. I'm okay. And from me, I will push out light. I will push out love. I will push out blessings into the world. And that's where you begin to make a difference. So this is what the blessing is designed to help each one of you do. It comes to that inner child, that inner pure person of you that never lost your connection with God, to strengthen it so that you can hear the heartbeat of your sacred heart. You can feel the pulse of life, sacred life moving through you. You can feel the energetic vibration of the Holy Spirit, literally lighting up the field of your world. I know you've been around some people. They walk in the room and light the room up. I know you've been out in public and you've walked to the other side of the hallway to avoid cold chills you got from some people who were walking in darkness. And it's sad that we would pull away from them, but actually, they're not there. We just pulled away from that outer field that momentarily they're allowing to engulf their life. And those are the ones we pray for, and we try to reach through the inner world. Sometimes you can't reach people through the outer world. I know, as a counselor of many years, who was a teacher 30 years before that, you can't reach a lot of people through the outer world because they've had so many disappointments, so many failures, but most of all, so many wrong directions and wrong purposes. Somebody told them as a child they should be doing this, that, or something else. The world told them they should be doing this, that, or something else. They followed somebody else's dream. And of course, they didn't have the strength to follow through on that dream. And they sat there in a pile of rubbish until they didn't believe anyone. You can't find them. You can't reach them through the outer world. And that becomes a real challenge for accessing and finding that person. Now, this is where faith, your faith in them, their deep inner faith in you. It's probably too much to ask them to have faith in God. They probably lost that a long time ago. But if you're kind to them, if you speak hopeful words to them, if you have some good news to offer them, if you have a meal to offer them, or a job to offer them, they will start having faith in you. Here's an example. After the storm, a lot of people were out of work, and a lot of people came here to get very hard labor to work because there was more work needed than there were people to do it. And so a lot of people were trying to do jobs they weren't particularly fit to do, and they were working really hard. And a lot of people had lost their homes and their family and people they loved. And there was one man that was working for us, fairly young man. It was his 30th birthday. Of course, I didn't know it until I asked. He was very, very dejected and very tired. And I said, Steve, are you just having a bad day, or what? Is there anything I can do? And he said, no, really not. He said, it's my 30th birthday, and my mom died yesterday, and I have no friends, and no one knows I just turned 30. And I said, well, Steve, I know you just turned 30, so here, let me make you a cup of coffee, and I'll be back in a few minutes. I went to the store. I bought a big birthday cake, and I invited all the workers to come and have birthday cake, and I bought a couple of bottles of champagne. I uncorked the champagne, and we had a birthday party for Steve. Well, since that time, Steve has continued to come and ask me for work. And I like Steve. I trust him. He's a good man. He does good work. And because he now has faith in someone, I'm not saying faith like I'm a saint. I'm just saying I was good to him. It restored his faith that some other human being could care about him. So now he has a place to live. He has a girlfriend. She has 3 kids. He's adopted the kids, and he's helping out at the animal shelter, caring for animals, and the animals love him, and he has a new lease on life. See, that's what I mean by you reach somebody through faith in them, through caring about them and allowing them to see that somebody else cares about them. All it takes. And Yeshua would say, after every miracle he performed, your faith made you whole. So Steve's faith is making him whole again. And sure, he went through a lot of loss, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. We all do. One time or another, we all will. But we get past it because we're not meant to stay in those situations. We're meant to find that we are a child of God. And if we only can find it at one little moment, if it's in the blessing, if Spirit comes to you and says, hello, I'm here, and you feel a little tingle in your body and you know, wow, God really heard my prayer. I don't see the answers yet, but maybe I am the answer. Maybe the answers will come next week. That's all it takes, my friends. It just takes that one point where you discover yourself again. So with that thought, we're going to go on to get in place to receive a blessing. And I would ask that all of you who've come to receive, just be seated, feet on the floor, relaxed, body untangled. We want the energy to flow smoothly through your body, heaven to earth and back from earth to heaven. Take a deep breath and then another and another and another until you're just completely relaxed. And there's no right way or wrong way to do this. It's just about you being in the presence of God. You being who you are, who you really are. Not what the world told you or not what you hoped you were or told yourself you were. Just you being yourself, being there. And so I'm going to say prayer to Yeshua. And when I'm finished, you begin your prayer to Yeshua or God or however you pray. If you pray with words or singing or spirit or just silence. However you pray, let prayer be a connection with God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. When that connection is made, the prayer is done. When you can get up from a prayer and you're a better man or a better woman, prayer has been answered. And you go from there. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for having faith in us. We thank you for encouraging us to have faith in ourselves. We thank you for teaching us the miracle of having faith in one another, of caring for one another, and what it can do to change our life, our world, and everything. And all it has to do is just begin with one person, loving one person. Faith is contagious. Love is contagious. And as we are reunited with our Creator, one-on-one with God, miracles happen. We have seen in your life that miracles are not external events. They're not some magic act that turns a tree from a pine tree to an oak tree. Miracles are not magic. Miracles are the transformation of creation into a newer and better form of creation. through faith, through love, through hope, through charity, through everything becoming its next highest potential and discovering what that next highest potential is. Thank you for this lesson with your life. The only lessons that truly matter are the ones we live. And you lived every lesson you taught. We behold the miracle of your life. And we ask that you give us the courage to live the miracle of our life. And the sweetness to embrace it. And the peace to surrender into it. We ask these things in your blessed name, in your precious love, eternally. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in conveying this energy while everyone else is in prayer? Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now, you need to complete receiving it. The giving is complete. The receiving is yet to come. So go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Just receive, be quiet, and be with God. Thank you for being with us. We love being with you. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.